Hi, and welcome to the Phys Ed Podcast. I'm Joey Fight from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from iphysed.com.
And this is episode 2. So Nathan, how
are
you doing?
Not too bad, Joey. How are you?
I'm good. I've been really busy these past few weeks. Lots going on here. Just finally got all my grades in and moving on to the new term. How about you? What have you been up to?
Yeah, very busy here as well. We just finished a 4-day Chinese New Year holiday. So back at work today and sort of starting a lot of new units and getting things going again, heading up to Easter. So busy times ahead.
Yeah. So let's talk about the podcast a bit, because this is pretty exciting. I feel like we got a pretty good reaction from everyone. I feel like people are liking it, so I guess that's good news for us.
Yeah, it's been pretty incredible, really, the reaction that we've had so far, like just the number of people that have commented and said that they've enjoyed it and that it's been a big help for them. So, you know, it makes it worthwhile for us to do this. And, I mean, I enjoy chatting with you, and we love doing this, so I'm glad that other people love it as well.
Yeah, and, you know, like, we got it started. I didn't really know how we were going to go about it, but we're up on iTunes now. I got on Stitcher, and I just got the email from BlackBerry yesterday saying that we're on the BlackBerry podcast directory too. So regardless of what kind of device you're using, you should be able to access this podcast. So hopefully you'll be able to get it easily, and you'll keep listening. We won't bore you guys out or anything.
Yeah. No, it's been good. It's been fed a lot of people commenting on Twitter and saying, you know, thanks very much for doing it, and it's been a big help, and it's nice just to know what other people are doing. So we'll keep going, and we'll keep hopefully providing you with the things that you need in your phys ed program.
Yeah. So speaking of phys ed programs, you just said you're starting up some new units. What do you got going on there in Singapore?
Yeah, well, we just finished up our dance units, and sort of was a little bit of a variation on your So You Think You Can Dance theme, sort of used that as a launching point and sort of came at it in a little different way, but sort of stuck to it a little bit. But the final performances were incredible. The kids, I was really worried leading up to the end that it wouldn't be so good and that the performances wouldn't be great, but the kids were amazing. Like, they really blew me away. So that was a nice way to finish off just before our Chinese New Year break. And now we're coming into some of the classes doing net wall games, so looking at that, and some of the older classes, grade fours and fives, I started an introduction to flag football with them, which has been good, actually. There's a few American kids here and a few Canadian kids, but majority sort of Asian and European kids, so they haven't seen any sort of NFL or flag football before, so it's been interesting to teach them that, and they've really taken to it, so it's good.
That's awesome. You know, like, often I always forget when I'm talking to teachers on Twitter that, like, every culture has, like, its own sports that are, like, their main sports. And even, I know I'm working with a Mr. BP teacher, like, Alec Bowden.
Yeah.
And he's helping me out develop some QR code posters for soccer. And even there, we had to have the discussion, like, do we call them soccer posters? Do we call them football posters?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's funny just thinking, like, all the different sports that people are teaching. I remember even here, like, when I say hockey, I just assume it's either ball hockey or ice hockey. I never think of field hockey when I'm talking about hockey.
So. Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's the same for me. Like, I say hockey, and I think of ball hockey or floor hockey in the same way that you do, but field hockey is really big here in Singapore, so often the kids are like, this isn't hockey, this is ice hockey or ball hockey or whatever, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's hockey to me. So what have you been teaching?
Well, my older kids, so my grades 5 and 6 are in the middle of their basketball sport education season.
Yeah.
And I have another class, so I teach in two schools, right? So that's at my main school where I'm there 3 days a week. And then at the other school, I just started my New Year's resolution fitness unit with them.
Okay.
So we're doing our fitness testing. I wrote about it in the newsletter, but just the fitness testing. And so it's not based on their fitness scores, right? It's all based on, okay, can you analyze your own fitness level? Can you determine any weaknesses in it? And are you able to create an action plan to turn those weaknesses into strengths? And I think that approach has just been, the kids just really appreciate that approach, I think. Like, nobody gets really stressed out about the test, because I'm very explicit about the fact that you're not getting graded based on what level you hit, like at the shuttle run test or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, like, that we, as physical educators in the 21st century, really push that point as it's an improvement thing. It's being able to identify your strengths and weaknesses and put into place an action plan to improve that rather than just go through the steps of the age-old, you know, shuttle run test, push-ups, sit-ups, all of that. So sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's just about positive behavior change, you know, like as I just feel like that's one of the most important things we can actually teach our kids. And just the way that I'm teaching, like, you know, I'm starting to show them things like CrossFit and yoga and Zumba and all that stuff. So they're just really getting into it because a lot of their parents do that stuff. So it's just a really positive experience fitness, and I'm loving it.
That's it. Like, it's about making sure that those kids now have an outlet to transition into a healthy adult lifestyle. Like, I feel like so many adults in maybe not our generation, but the generation before ours are overweight and inactive now because of the fitness testing and the things that they did when they were doing phys ed when they were at school. And it's sort of taken that love of being active and sport away from them. So it's really important. I feel like it's a really key thing right now in phys ed to make sure that we're providing kids with those outlets and those opportunities to maintain and develop an active lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. And just, again, it's just thinking of this generation of students too, like what their needs are going to be when it comes to health. Another unit I just wrapped up is I started a relaxation unit or like a stress management unit.
Yeah.
And I did that with grades 3 and 4. And we're just talking about, okay, like what are things in your life that stress you out and how are ways that you can kind of cope with that stress? Or what are ways that you can prevent situations once you feel like overwhelmed by stress? And we did stuff again, like we did like a lot of breathing exercises. We did yoga, and last podcast we talked about Headspace. I actually had the students do like a Headspace like session,
mm-hmm.
like one of those Take 10 sessions.
Yeah.
And I told them flat out, I was like, okay, this isn't for everyone. Like, not everybody likes meditating, but I want you really just to give it a real shot.
Yeah.
And just try it out and see how it kind of feels and how you feel about it. And to be honest with my grade threes are like, I felt really bored. I felt like I was about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
But my grade fours got into it and there's like, you know, I felt a lot more focused afterwards. I felt better. So just like teaching them those things, like you have to think of like the skills that they're going to need moving forward in life.
Yeah. And, I did something similar just the other day. I had I think it was a K1, even K1 class. So 4 or 5 year olds. And I could just see that they were so wound up after their lunch break. And I came in and I have a kid yoga DVD. And I just put that on for about 10 minutes and said, okay, we're just going to like calm ourselves down and relax and breathe and go through that whole process. And it was incredible. They loved it. Now they ask me every time, can we do yoga again? Can we do yoga again?
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. The only other thing I'm trying at the moment is some of the listeners out there might have seen the iPhysed inquiry cycle that I posted a while ago. So I sort of did that halfway through this dance sort of units that I was doing. So I didn't really get a chance to fully implement it all the way through a unit. So that's my goal for the next unit is to sort of use that to go through an entire unit. So starting right at the start of the inquiry cycle and going around. So that'll be interesting, hopefully, to see. I might have to change it a little bit here and there. But yeah, if any other of the listeners out there are using it, I'd love to hear how you're going with it as well.
That's awesome. And you have that on your website, right?
Yeah, it's on my website. It's on in the resources section under iPhysed inquiry cycle. We'll put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of resources, I launched the phys ed newsletter. I've sent out 2 campaigns so far.
Yeah.
And so I've never done a newsletter before, and I just saw like there's so many phys ed teachers that are out there that aren't on social media, and I've always focused on social media,
mm-hmm.
and I really want to try and engage with as many teachers as possible, right? So I started this newsletter, and honestly, it's been awesome. It's such a they're fun to write. Like, I like it's just like a longer blog post, I guess. But just getting teachers emailing me back, like I'm actually getting a lot more teachers emailing me back. And like the last one I sent out, I talked about a Star Wars tag, which is just an amazing game for phys ed.
Yeah.
And I had a teacher write me back and he wrote like this long post about like his modifications on the rules and how he plays it and just so many good ideas. And it's just a lot of fun getting to connect with people that way, kind of like on a one-on-one basis, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, there's a lot of great phys ed teachers out there who haven't discovered or don't use Twitter. So I guess, yeah, it's definitely another way just to connect with those people out there. So, you know, it's been good. I eagerly await it in my inbox. I actually read it. I think I read it last night because I was out of internet range for a couple of days. So, no, it was good.
Awesome, thanks.
Well, speaking of...
Hopefully people like it, so...
No, that's all right. Sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, speaking of social media, like, are you following anyone at the moment on Twitter, any blogs or anything like that?
I haven't really been reading that many blogs. Like, I've just been crazy busy these last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But one person on Twitter, and she's going to be happy that I'm mentioning her here, is Amanda Stanek.
Yeah.
I believe is her name. Move, Live, Learn.
Yeah.
Is her Twitter handle. What a firecracker that girl is. Like, she just jumped into Twitter and exactly. is just going for it. Like, it's awesome. Like, exactly. She's bringing so much energy to the community. Like, I love it.
Yeah, she just came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, I just feel like she's just bang straight in there, and it's been fantastic. I think it was almost off the back of that first podcast that she just like came out of nowhere. So yeah, she's great. She's really great.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Like, cause I just like her. I like her point of view on things. Like, she's just very real, and it's so nice when you get to talk to people online, and you can tell that the kind of person you're connecting with is their true self. You know, like sometimes you connect with people and it kind of feels like they're trying harder to be something than they actually are.
Yeah.
I just like it when people kind of keep it real on Twitter and on Facebook and all those places.
Exactly.
And I think she does exactly that.
Exactly. I mean, I guess that comes back to the blog post that you wrote about social media, which I thought was really interesting. So that was a good one, and I'm sure a lot of people got a lot out of that. So I don't know whether you want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, I wrote that post on branding because I was supposed to present to the undergrads at McGill on using social media as a tool for professional development. And the whole idea came from, like, I'm looking into starting to use Instagram a lot more with my phys ed classes.
Yeah.
Kind of like taking pictures and sharing, like, just another platform to kind of be sharing on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking through, so I was like, okay, who's sharing, the phys ed hashtag on Instagram? I just found, like, a lot of, like, PTE students. And nothing against them, like we've all been there at one point in our lives, but just sharing like a lot of like party pictures and stuff, and then using the phys ed hashtag. And I was just like, man, like I don't understand why you'd use that hashtag in there. You know, like you must understand that people are looking for that tag, and then you're associating it to like these party pictures, which is fine. Like everybody has a good time, but you have to be careful like the kind of image you're portraying of yourself online. So that's why I wrote that post. And I got a pretty good reaction to it. Like, I'm glad that people enjoyed it, and hopefully it opened a few eyes on like what you're actually doing when you're engaging and you're sharing online.
Exactly. And I mean, it goes for us as educators, and it goes for students as well. Like, that's something that is really a hot topic at the moment within education is, you know, like creating an online presence and making sure that you're not sharing information that's personal or whatever. And you know, it's the same for me. When I signed up for Twitter, I was so against Twitter for a long time, like I said, maybe in the last podcast, but I looked at it and I said, right, I'm going to use Twitter just purely as a professional thing. I've got Facebook, which is for my friends and my family, and then Twitter is purely for professionals. So it's just about looking at all of those different social networks that are out there, and there's so many that it can be a little daunting sometimes, but you just got to, I guess, pick and choose the ones that suit you and use them for the different sort of uses. Like, I use Facebook for personal, I use Twitter for professional, so.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, too, is, like, I hear a lot of, like, education programs, like, at the university level saying, like, don't get on Facebook, don't get on Twitter. And the thing is that, like, that's not the way to go about it. It's just, you have to be smart about it. You have to learn, okay, like, what are my privacy settings? How can I set myself up so I'm setting myself up for a positive social media experience. Like, I'm not going to name names here, but I had somebody, one of my close friends, who just got a job at a very prestigious school, and he was very excited about the school and everything. And one of the moms at the school actually went back to the principal and been like, oh, well, 2 years ago, and literally 2 years ago, he tweeted this out. And it wasn't even anything negative. It had to do with him, like not feeling comfortable with a certain subject or something, teaching a certain subject. And that was 2 years previous. But the mom brought it back out and brought it to the principal.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you just have to think, like, it's not, like, not being on those platforms, but just being smart about how you're sharing. And sometimes you think something's really funny and, like, oh, people find it funny, but it might come back and, like, bite you in the butt a bit later on. You might regret having sent that out.
Exactly. And I think at the end of the day, like, it comes down to just this, the way that I look at it is, would I say that to a person if I was face-to-face them? Or would I show them this picture if I was face-to-face with that person in that situation? Yeah. Like, if it was one of my friends, yeah, probably I would show them a photograph of me out at a bar having a drink. But if I'm in a professional situation, would I do that in person? So you just need to look at social networks, I guess, in the same way as, like, it's not this other world that's completely removed from the real world. It's still the real world. It's just a different way of communicating.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, I could go on this forever because...
Exactly.
So yeah, how about you? Like, so I mentioned Move, Live, Learn on Twitter. Anybody that's been catching your attention lately?
Yeah, dumb jock myth, Adam Howe. Like, I know that now he's helping out with the PE chat as well, using the US time zone on the West Coast there. And I listened in. I know him and some of the other US guys are using Google Hangouts, and they'd had a couple of Google Hangouts talking about different things in phys ed. And yeah, he was really impressive, really knowledgeable, really nice guy. I enjoyed watching it. I wasn't a part of the conversation, but they were streaming it live on YouTube, and I was watching it. And it was great. So he's doing a lot of good things at the moment.
Yeah, he's a nerd guy. Like, again, like, he just, you can tell that he's being very much so himself, and he's showing how passionate he is about it. But he's really knowledgeable, and he just comes off as a good guy. He really impressed me. Like that Google Hangout was cool to watch. First of all, yeah. I have to say, like, I'm so glad, like, I'm just so proud to be part of this profession at this time where, like, you have, like, imagine, like, if a parent was to stumble on that Google Hangout and be like, oh my God, here are these phys ed teachers, like these, like, gym teachers that some people call them. And they're spending their time, like, their weeknight. Was it done on a weekend? I think it was done on a weekend.
I think it was a Friday night.
Yeah, on a Friday night, talking about things so that they can improve the education of my child. Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
That, like, that was such a cool thing to watch. And I really hope he keeps it going. And I hope all those guys, like Matt Pomeroy, Blue Jay Bridge, who else is there? Nick Enlich, like all those guys, like good on them for doing that for themselves, but also good on them for doing that for our field, you know?
Exactly. So you said you'd been doing a few workshops. Do you want to tell me more about that or tell the listeners more about that?
Yeah, well, I was really happy. I was really lucky, actually, to be asked to go back to a school board. So there's a few school boards in my area. And this one school board, Lester B. Pearson School Board, they invited me to come present to their teachers in October and to talk about tech and phys ed. So it was mainly on iPads and apps and things like that. And the teachers just ate it up. They loved it. So they asked me to go back. And this time they were like, hey, what do you want to talk about? And I want to talk to them because I was like, well, I'd really like to show off kind of what purposeful phys ed is all about, like how I'm using the Quebec curriculum and like breaking it down and putting it really using as like the foundation of all my teaching. Because here in Quebec anyways, like I know some places have great curricula, and our curriculum here in Quebec is very good. It was always very confusing because it changed around a lot and it never got presented really properly. So people just felt confused and people was like, oh, whatever, like, forget, I'll just teach whatever I want, which is a shame because then you don't really have your students following like a path, right? They're just kind of going wherever.
Yeah.
So I did the workshop on purposeful phys ed. I explained what it is. I showed an example, and through that I kind of showed to how I use tech throughout it. And I think the teachers liked it. Like, I got some good feedback back from them. And I know that the people who are hosting, the two consultants there for Lester B. Pearson are Rebecca and Peter, and they're great people. It was a great time. And then I got to give another workshop literally like 3 days later, and that was with Sir Wilfrid Laurier School Board. And he's on Twitter, so Robbie Richard is Sir Wilfrid Laurier P.E., or S.W. Laurier P.E., I think.
Okay.
But he invited me to come to talk to his teachers, and it was a great experience too. Like, it was a small group, and I really felt like I was able to like I don't know, get through to a few of the teachers. And it was cool too, like some of them had been using the ideas they'd seen me at other workshops. And no, it's just fun. Like, as much as I love Twitter, as much as I love this podcast, I love the blog, I absolutely love getting to meet teachers face to face and get to hang out with them and just bounce ideas around. And that's kind of what happens at these workshops. So it was a good experience. I was really
exactly
happy.
Exactly. Well, that's any workshop that I've ever been to within education. That's the most beneficial part of being there, is just that face to face connection time. Even just sitting around at lunchtime of the workshop, talking to people, shooting ideas off of each other. It's so much more valuable just to sit down with someone and have that conversation. I've fingers crossed got a workshop in the works at the moment, which could be an international one. So I don't want to say too much right now in case it all falls through, but could be heading towards the Middle East somewhere later in the year, hopefully to do some workshops there with some schools. So I'll keep you posted on that one.
That's awesome, man. I don't see that falling through. I think they know if they found when they found you to go present there. So I'm sure you'll get that. I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah, looking forward to it, hopefully. Let's talk about apps for a second, maybe.
All right.
Anything you're using at the moment?
Okay, well, something I used at the workshop that actually caught a lot of people's attention, because a lot of teachers are talking about Apple TVs.
Yeah, I just bought one last night.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. That's awesome.
Yeah, just bought it. I was in the airport duty free coming back. I went to Australia for Chinese New Year, and I was in the airport coming back and just saw it sitting there, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to get that.
So you got one. So what are you planning on using it? Like, are you using it in your school, or is it for your personal stuff at home?
I don't know. I'm going to use it at home first, just because we don't really have TVs at the school as such at the moment. We really just have projectors, so I've been using a reflector app or Air Server to sort of use that onto the projector using the computer. But yeah, I'm sort of going to use it at home to start with, just get a hang of it, and then maybe see how I can get it into the classroom.
Awesome. So you kind of mentioned the app I want to talk about, because during the workshop I used to do my my presentations right off my iPad.
Yeah.
And this time I decided to do it off my Mac, so I can move around with my iPad a bit more. But that's it. I was using Reflector app. So Reflector app just lets you do a screen mirroring, so you can project your iPad screen onto your MacBook, and then obviously if you have your MacBook connected to a projector, you could put your iPad up on the big screen. And it's great because it's wireless. You get to move around, and sometimes, like often when I'm teaching, like I'm just showing kids things right off my iPad screen. So I'm going into like smaller groups and it's like, hey, come here, and we're working around my iPad screen while other students are on task doing their, well, hopefully on task.
Yeah.
Doing their work. But sometimes there are situations where I want to be showing something to the entire class at once. So having that reflector app is a great way to project my iPad off onto the bigger screen, so everybody can kind of easily see what I'm doing at the same time.
Yeah, so. Definitely. You can also, I know that there's some schools that are very lucky and have a number of iPads available for a class, so there may be a whole class, you know, five for the class or whatever, and I know you can actually, the kids can just, you can have five iPads going at the same time, and then the kids can take it in turns of just sending it up to the screen using the AirPlay function. So I've seen it done in the school before where, you know, the kids were doing their work and they all came back in for a quick discussion, and I think they were using Coach's Eye maybe. And the teacher was just like, all right, who's got something they want to show? And the kids were just straight up onto the screen. Okay, there's group one. Now it's group two. And it was just so easy. The kids were so good at it. And it was really, instead of just sitting there and talking about what they were doing, they were actually showing straight off their iPads onto the screen.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, that's just a very good use of tech right there.
Yeah, exactly. I've used that one. I also have used, there's another one, Air Server as well. So I'm sort of like, I'm trialing both of them at the moment just to see which one I like best, but they're very, very similar.
Okay. I've never heard of Air Server. I've used the Reflector app for a little bit. It just changed its name, right? It used to be Reflections, and now it's called Reflector.
Yeah.
But yeah, how about you? Any apps you've been using?
I know I posted on IFZ a review of Moves. I've been using that a little bit, and for those that don't know, it's basically just a glorified pedometer, if you will. So it counts your steps, calculates your distance, the amount of time that you've been walking for, It also calculates your running and cycling times. And it even shows you on a map where you've been when you've been walking around or cycling or running. And I know there's a lot of apps out there that are very similar to that, but what sets this one apart at the moment is that it doesn't drain the battery too much, which has been amazing. It's been a big issue, I guess, for apps like this that use any sort of GPS tracking or anything like that. But I'm not 100% sure whether this is true or not, but I'm sure that I read somewhere that it doesn't, it uses GPS for a small amount of the data, but a lot of the time it just uses the mobile signal using the towers to triangulate where you are. So it doesn't drain as much of the battery. So it's been pretty good. Like, I've been using it for about a week now, and I think maybe there was one day where my battery ran flat before I got home. But I'd also been using my phone for a few other things that day. But yeah, no, it's really good. It's really just a visual, nice way to see, your movement, and it gives you the goal of 10,000 steps per day. And I'm finding that it's pushing me because, you know, I think the most I've done so far just being at work was around 17,000 steps, which is about, I think, 8 kilometers of walking during the day. But I found that there was one day where I was in a few meetings during the day. I wasn't teaching and I only got about 8,000 steps. So I was really disappointed with myself. I was like, I need to get to 10,000. It's good. I think it could be used, you know, by individuals. It could also be used by kids if you're lucky enough to have enough devices, whether they're iPod Touches, iPods. I don't think it's on iPad or any Android yet, but I think that they're pushing to get there. But it could be good, like, even in a game situation where you've got kids playing a game, so they can see, you know, for this 20-minute game, I was walking for 15 minutes of it and only running for 5 minutes of it. Different uses like that.
That's super interesting. You know, like, there's this huge, like, quantified self movement where you're kind of like collecting data on everything you do throughout the day. And there's one guy that's really cool with this. Like, I've been following him for a long time now. Buster Benson. He works at Twitter, but he used to have, he started this site called Health Month, and I think he sold that. And then he had another thing called Budge, and it was all about behavior change. And a lot of it came around this idea of quantified self. I think during not this PE chat that just went by, but the other one on Professional Review. Actually, I was talking with Move, Live, Learn on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, imagine if there was like a quantified self movement, but for phys ed teachers, where you were collecting data on yourself during your teaching and then kind of using that data to just kind of track how you're doing as a teacher. You know? So imagine if you were like calculating like the amount of minutes you're taking in planning and then comparing that to the amount of minutes that your students are active in class, and then even comparing that to the amount of minutes that you're giving instruction time in class. Like, I've had students like with a stopwatch just time me how much time I talk during a class, because I was curious to see how much actual instruction time I was using. Just collecting all that kind of data, and even this, like, your activity time, having tracking how many steps your students are actually taking in class, so using that as a metric for activity time. I think it's just really interesting, this idea of collecting all this data, and there's a lot of tech kind of like pushing that way, you know, like with Fitbit and the Nike Fuel Band and the Jawbone Up. I think.
Yeah.
The wristbands. So, you know, there's a big movement going that way. So.
Well, it's that whole gamification of learning that's happening at the moment all throughout education, that making education like a game. Kids want rewards and they want solid scores and data and things like that. So it's just sort of taking that video game lifestyle and bringing it into phys ed.
Yeah, exactly.
What else have you been using? Anything?
To be honest, okay, like these last 2 weeks have just been crazy because I had the two workshops, I had to enter my grades, I launched a newsletter, we launched this podcast, I've got like a bunch of other stuff going on. So most of the apps I've been using are actually not like phys ed apps, but they're like my productivity apps, like they're kind of like my workflow apps.
Yeah.
And I know like the other day we were having a discussion on Twitter, a few teachers just talking about like what we use to stay organized. And a few apps that I use. First of all, I just got this awesome app called Mailbox, and I know some people might be jealous about that because if you try and download the app now, they're going to put you on this like huge waiting line.
I'm on the waiting list right now. I think I'm at about 400,000 at the moment.
Yeah, my brother just got it this morning. There's like 700,000 people in front of him in line.
So how did you get it?
Well, I heard about it early. I just read it through Paris Lemon's blog, and I just signed up for it then. So when I downloaded the app, I only had like 19,000 people in front of me, and that took about 2 days before I got it. But it's just it's hard to describe. It's just an awesome way of handling your email. Like, I get like a lot of emails from a lot of different people on a daily basis, and often I'll get them while I'm teaching. And it has a sick feature that you can slide your emails to the left. Like, you can group all of them if you want, slide them to the left, and then you can schedule them to reappear in your inbox later on in the day. Because often what happens is things wind up sitting on my inbox for so long, and then I feel bad because a week will go by and I haven't got to inbox zero yet, and I didn't get back to like teachers who email me or people asking me for like resources or stuff like that. So just being able to schedule it to pop back in later on, like I treat everything like a new email. So it's really cool. And it only works with Gmail right now, but like it's now my default like mail app on my iPhone already, and I've only had it for a few days.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting release strategy, I guess, that they've gone for in terms of this waiting list, and it seems like it's obviously very very popular. And from what I've seen so far, I'm sort of like every day now I'm checking like, oh, where am I up to in the line? How much longer before I get this? And like, even down to the fact that I looked and I think I was about 490,000 when I signed up, and I'm down at 400,000 now, and that's been about 2 or 3 days. So I'm thinking, you know, in a couple of weeks, maybe I'm going to get there.
Yeah, no, like, the thing is too, I was saying, like, I use this other app called Lyft, which is like a habit tracking app. And I was thinking about it because like I was checking mailbox all the time to see where I was in line. And then I was like these crafty buggers, what they're doing is they're training me to get used to checking my mail all the time.
Exactly.
I was just developing that habit of constantly opening up mailbox, but it's worth it. It's a really good app. But you know, like, I use that for email. I use Evernote for everything now. Like, I'm using Evernote all the time. Like, so, like, I get an idea and I just type it up in Evernote quickly. I use Tweetbot, like, as my Twitter app. If you're like, I know a lot of people use Twitter's official app, but Tweetbot just has so many cool features and it's just so easy to use. And a lot of it's gesture based too, so that's nice.
Yeah, no, I after speaking to you a while ago, I changed that when I was using something different, but now I use that. And it takes a couple of days to get used to all the different gestures and stuff, but it's so much easier now. I also use TweetDeck on my computer as well, which I find is a lot easier. I can sort of add columns. Like, when there's PE chat on, I add a column for PE chat, and I can just see that all popping up. So I have about 7 or 8 different columns: PE chat, phys ed. I've got my sort of timeline, different things. So that's a good one. I don't know if have you used that before.
I downloaded it a while back, but I never got into TweetDeck. Like, even before it was bought by Twitter, I just this is gonna sound stupid, but like, I just never liked the way it looked. So I never really used it. I used to use I used to use Tweety on my phone, and then it got bought by Twitter. And then when the Mac App Store opened up, like, Twitter released like an official Twitter for Mac app, and it was designed by the guy that did Tweety, and I loved that app. But then they stopped developing it, like they stopped working on it. So now I bought Tweetbot for Mac, so I use that on my Mac, because again, it's the same thing, like opening up a lot of columns, and a lot of it's gesture based too with the multi-touch like trackpad.
Yeah.
And you know, another app I use all the time is Things, which is like a productivity, getting things done kind of app. I invested in it a while ago. It's kind of pricey, but it's just got so many features. It makes it really easy to track your projects, break them down into tasks, and kind of organize everything into different areas of your life. It's been a lifesaver for me for like a lot of things that I've got going on.
Okay. You were talking about Evernote, and that's something that I wanted to talk about. I feel like there's this real issue at the moment with digital portfolios, especially for phys ed. And I've tried now 2 or 3 different apps or different ways of doing it. And each way seems to have its good points and its bad points. And there doesn't seem to be one app or program that sort of fits for what my vision of a portfolio or digital portfolio should be. So I tried using 3Ring. I've tried using Mr. Robbo's Easy Portfolio, and now I'm onto Evernote. So I just set that up on just last week before the end of before we finished with Chinese New Year, and I set up all the classes. I created tags for every student. So that's where I'm sort of trying to go at the moment. So I don't know if you have you used it for that at all?
Yeah, I actually use Evernote for student portfolios a lot. The way, like, I don't know how you set up. So people set up in different ways. So let's say right now, if my sport education season, like, obviously sport ed, there's a lot of paperwork. Like, I'm getting score sheets, I'm getting practice sheets, I'm getting, like, their warm-up sheets and all this stuff. So to kind of keep track of all that and to organize it easily, I just snap pictures of the sheets and then tag it with the, I have, like, a special tag for that unit. So let's say it's, like, B-Ball SE 613, so it's, like, grade 6, 2013.
Yeah.
And then I tag it with whatever student's in there.
Yeah.
So that it works great that way. And I love Evernote's OCR technology, like optical character recognition. Yeah. So the fact that, like, if a kid has clear, like, it doesn't even have to be that clear. If a kid has printed their name on a sheet, Evernote's able to pick it up. Even if I forgot to, like, tag it, I could search your name and Evernote will pick it up because it's able to read the written text in a page.
Yeah.
Or on a page. So, yeah, so I don't know. I love Evernote. Like, I use it a lot in my phys ed classes. How are you set up on it? Like, you said did you make notebooks?
Yeah, so I set it up in a way, like, so I made notebooks for each class because I have probably 9 or 10 classes that I teach. So I set up a notebook for each class, and then within that, then set up tags. So I have a tag for every student that I teach. And then I haven't got to the point of like you said, about creating a tag for the unit, but that's my next step, so that I can then sort of group things by units. I like that tagging situation. Like, I like that idea of just, you know, searching for a tag and all of the things that fall under that suddenly appear, because I was feeling like my issues with the other ones that I was using was that it was just a lot of work to get everything back together at the end.
Yeah.
And I know that, for example, like 3-ring, I know they're still beta testing. And so I was having issues with that. It's because it's all browser based. They have the app that you can load things through, but then you have to go to the browser to view it all, which is fine. But I was finding that I was having issues with, you know, things taking a long time to upload or not being able to access the browser properly. And the same with Easy Portfolio. And I know I spoke to Jared about it when we had the workshop, that he was saying that he was having problems with that at the moment in terms of people being able to export it all to Dropbox, and certain files not being exported and other ones were. Evernote, I just set it up. So hopefully as we go through this unit, I'll be able to see whether it's going to work for me. And I guess that's what the thing it comes down to in the end of the day is as well, that, you know, it's what works for you and what works for your school. Like, different people have different sort of needs and wants from their school. But the school says, you know, you need to have this many portfolio pieces per semester, per year, for each subject or for whatever. But I know I was using iPhoto as well, actually, early on, and just using the faces.
Oh yeah, I remember feature. You wrote a blog post on that, right?
Yeah, I wrote a blog post on that, and that actually is pretty good now, because I've got so many photos. I probably take 20 photos per class of things happening. So I've just got like a whole iPhoto thing full of photos. So that was a really easy way to organize that now, is just going through and tagging faces on that. So I'm just wondering maybe now how I can get that across into Evernote as well. So
yeah, that'd be awesome. I forgot about that blog post. That was a really good idea.
Yeah. I only wonder as well about, I don't know whether you know this, is there a data limit on Evernote in terms of how much you can load into it?
To be honest, because I use it so much for things outside of teaching too, I went with the premium program.
Okay.
So I pay, I think it's $5 a month that I pay, and I'm able to upload a lot more. I know that there is a data cap on how much you can upload, and if you're uploading a lot of pictures, like, you could probably hit that cap easily.
Yep.
But so I just went premium. I'll pay the $5 because, like I said, I really use it for everything.
Yeah. What about video, uploading video? Because I know that's not maybe as easy as it is in other...
No, well, you can't upload video to Evernote. So what I do when I need to put a video, if I'm recording a video on my iPad, I upload the video to Dropbox. So I have like a whole Dropbox system for my phys ed classes.
Yep.
I upload to Dropbox, grab the public link from to that Dropbox file, and then paste that link in my Evernote note.
Okay. That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, so if I'm looking at the note and then I say okay, like video, and then I just click on it and then it'll bring me to like the video within inside Dropbox.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a good way of doing it.
So, but you know, like you were saying, like it all comes down to it has to be easy. Like your workflow in this has to be easy, or else you're not going to do it. And even at these workshops that I was presenting at, like I was talking to teachers, like I was telling them, you know, like you have to look at tech as a solution to your teaching problem. So if your teaching problem, let's say like taking attendance, like keeping track of attendance is a teaching problem. So if you have to go with the best solution. So for me, let's say like Jared just released like Easy Attendance. Like I'm really looking forward to using that app. Because I used to use the attendance app all the time when I first started teaching. I remember I had my iPod Touch back then. I didn't even own an iPhone yet. I had my iPod Touch and I just take attendance there. But for some teachers, their best way, their easiest solution might not be using tech at all. Their easiest solution might just be using pen and paper, and that's fine. Because as long as they're getting their work done, that's it. Like the easiest way possible. So you just always got to like, be trying things out and see how it goes.
I think that's the danger with technology at the moment being such a big thing in education is that there's that danger of it taking away from the teaching and learning time, especially people who are new to the technology and taking longer to do something that you could do without the technology or using the technology in a way that's not really as beneficial as it should be. Like it should be there to support the teaching and learning. It shouldn't be there to control the teaching and learning.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, like I was coaching basketball, like we went to a basketball tournament not too long ago. Like I was thinking like one of my students, like he wouldn't pull his elbow in line. So his elbows always kind of flared out when he was shooting and the ball would always go off target. And I was thinking like, imagine like if I like pulled out coach's eye, recorded him, annotated the video, had him realize it like and everything. But like what's easier, doing that or just going over like, hey Jimmy, and like grabbing his elbow and pulling it in, it's like keep your elbow in when you're shooting. Like exactly. That's so much easier. So
exactly. Talking of Evernote as well, I was just thinking about it because I just bought a stylus yesterday actually.
Okay.
To use with Penultimate, and I know that you've reviewed that on the App Review Center.
Yeah.
And that's great because that links in with Evernote as well. That automatically goes straight into your Evernote account. So for anyone who hasn't used it, it's just basically like a notebook on your iPad or whatever, and I've got the stylus now and I can just write as if it's a pen on there, and it's really good. I really like it.
What kind of pen is it? Is it like a big round point or did you get like a fine point pen? Because I'm dying to find like a fine point stylus.
Yeah, so it's quite round point. It's a Belkin one.
Okay.
And it's quite round point, and I've like obviously only just tried it really quickly this morning. I'm doing it right now, actually. And it seems to be okay if you use the smallest text setting.
All right.
Because there's three sizes of text that you can use when you're using the app. And using the smallest setting, it seems to be pretty good in terms of keeping it small and sort of mimicking the movement. So I haven't obviously used it a lot yet, but you know, it seems pretty good so far for what I need. Because I find as well that I'm teaching, I've got the iPad because I'm using it for lots of different things, and then I think of something and I want to write a note down, and it's too hard to quickly like try and type that in, open up another thing, type it in. So it's much easier just to quickly scribble something down using Penultimate, and it's automatically then put into your Evernote account.
Yeah, well, and honestly, Penultimate's the app I use the most when I'm teaching. Like, I just did like a NetGames unit not too long ago, and let's say if we're talking about, like, I'm trying to see where if the students understand where they should send the object so that it's difficult for their opponent to get to it. And all I'm doing is, like, I'd go over and I just quickly, like I could use Coach Note to do that. But the fastest way for me is just to bust out Penultimate, draw a quick court, put an X. Okay, this is you. This is your opponent. Where should you send the object? Okay, and then, like, draw on there. And then they draw. It's like, okay, why should you send it there? And then, like, that's so fast, you know? Like, that's what I love about Penultimate is that it's just really fast. Or even taking like a screenshot, taking a picture and then annotating on, like it's just so fast in Penultimate where you take a picture, okay, let's draw on top of this, like where were you standing, where were you standing? It's honestly, it's the app I use the most when I'm teaching. I use it this morning to explain a game to my grade ones.
Yeah, definitely, and that's why, like, I think, you know, I went with the stylus because I tried to use it last week without the stylus, and it was just, it was too difficult to get all of the things down that I wanted to get down. So I'm going to try this stylus out today and over the next week. And if I see, like, the idea is if I see one that has a thinner point, I'm going to go for it. But this one was pretty cheap. I think it was only about $17. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's really good. And that Penultimate's not the only app out there that links with Evernote. There's so many now, like, I know Sketch as well. Links in with Evernote, and there's a whole portfolio of Evernote apps that are really useful that link in with it. So I'm excited to use it and to see if it's going to work.
Yeah, Evernote's a really cool company, and they're doing a lot of really cool things. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go moving forward. And like, all of their tools are really useful for teachers. So it's just really cool seeing what they're doing there.
Exactly. And I know you mentioned Jared's Easy Attendance. Like, I've been using, I think it was TeacherPal maybe, or TeacherKit. It's changed names a couple of times. I had been using that, but then I've sort of gone away from it because I was, like you said before, it wasn't being useful to me and it was taking too much time. So
yeah, exactly.
I've downloaded Jared's Easy Attendance and I'm going to sort of use that. I don't know, because I haven't used it yet, I don't know whether you have, and he can probably tell us as well, but is there an option on there to be able to make groups with the kids?
Yeah, there's an option to make groups with the kids. I think it's like set numbers. I only toyed around with it a little bit, but there's it's definitely like, there's like, you can make groups of six, or you can groups of seven, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah, because I've been using Make My Groups, which is good, but it does have a few bugs and a few issues here and there, and so it's fine. But yeah, I'd be interested to see whether Jared's one sort of is better than that, or whether it's, you know, how it is. Because then if you can be doing attendance and making groups within the same app, then obviously that's going to save you time and effort going in and out of different apps all the time.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the app right now. Like, that's it. Like, if one of my classes says groups of two, great groups of three, groups of four, groups of five, groups of six, groups of seven. So, okay. But speaking of Make My Groups, I just use Make My Groups to start off my basketball sport education season. So okay. I was trying to make fair teams. So I started the unit off with like a basketball jamboree where it was like different skill stations and then some scrimmaging. And what I used that class for, so the students weren't evaluated on any of this, but I was just watching the students. So I gave each student a grade from 1 to 4. So fours were the students that need the most improvement in basketball, and ones are like the more skilled students.
Yeah.
So I gave, like, I have classes of 24, so I gave 6-1, 6-2, 6-3, 6-4s. And then in Make My Groups now, you can separate up to, like, three categories. So I separate three categories, but then the kids that aren't separate are kind of a fourth category on their own, right?
Yeah.
I needed six teams. I gave it a shake, and I had like, my six teams with a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4 in each team.
That's nice.
It was just so fast. Like, I was just really happy with the app that day because I was like, this is awesome. And the teams have turned out to be very fair. So
it was good. Well, that's it. Like, the app at its core and in that use is perfect for that. The issues that I was having with, just in terms of like the navigating around the app, can be a little bit difficult sometimes, finding things, going back and forward. And like, a couple of times I've made groups and then had to go back and then the groups have been lost and things like that. So it's not that it's a bad app. It's just, sometimes it's difficult to navigate around. So yeah, like, that's, I really like that idea. Actually, I'm going to use that, I think.
Yeah, it worked great. And no, I totally agree. Like, the user interface on Make My Groups isn't that great, but I am glad that they've added extra categories that you can separate kids by.
So yeah, nice one.
So yeah, so anything else you want to talk about for this week's podcast?
No, I think we've talked long enough, and hopefully I haven't said like enough too many times this week, because listening back to that first episode, I realized how many times I say like, and I think it's instead of saying okay. So I've been really trying hard all week, or last week and a half since that first one came out, to in my day to day not say like so much. So hopefully, I'll be interested to listen back to this later and see. But that's my goal over the next few Phys Ed podcasts, is to cut that out.
But when I teach in French, I say all the time. And when I taught high school, the kids would count how many times I said in the class. And I talk really fast too. Like, I know I talk too fast, so often I'm using fillers like that. Yeah, it's always a pain though when you're listening to yourself and then you pick up on you're like, oh no, why do I keep saying that?
Yeah, definitely. All right, man, it's been good to talk to you again, and I hope all the listeners out there have enjoyed and that you'll find some useful things out of this episode. Like we said before, we'll do up the show notes and make sure that they're attached underneath, and so you'll be able to go and find any of the things we've talked about today.
Yeah, we'll get that up, and I'll try and get up on the blog as soon as possible. Remember, everyone, that you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher if you're using Android or iOS. I think it's on iOS too. And if you're using a BlackBerry, like that new fancy Z10 or whatever it is, we're on the BlackBerry podcast directories too.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Joey.
Hey, no problem. Have a great day teaching, Nathan.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye.